But today, I think we live in a society where we are not really looking at what God said to us, what Jesus said to us, his disciples at one time, that said, you can't serve God and mammon too. You can't serve God and the world too. And I think we, in my viewing people and looking around, I think that we have people today who are trying to still to do both. And I know that we have a good church family here, and I don't know why God laid this on my heart, but maybe it was for you. I don't know. But I think today that we need to get back the song that Jeff sang this morning, the choir sang this morning, very appropriate, I think, for the message I have today. And I'm not all that techie, so I didn't even tell anybody what I was preaching about this morning, so they didn't know. But that we need to get back to the basics of life. Made me think about in Jeremiah where he said, you know, we need to seek out the old paths sometimes. And now I'm not suggesting we go back to 1947, but you know, sometimes when it comes to God's Word and believing God's Word, it hasn't changed. God's Word hasn't changed. Paul wrote to the Galatians, and I want to share with you a few verses out of the book of Galatians this morning. So if you have a Bible or have one handy, you might want to get it this morning. In verse chapter 3 of Galatians, in the very first verse, Paul has been raking the Galatians over the coals because they have some conflict going on about circumcision and some things of that nature in that day, and about Gentiles and Jews. And then Paul said to them in verse 1 of chapter 3, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So Paul is getting on to the Galatians here a little bit for, and you know, you have to think about it in this way. You know, Christianity was still something that was fairly new at this time, and still learning the ropes, just like if we go through an ordeal or training or whatever for a job or something that we do in life. We train for it, and then you learn from that. And as you go on, you begin to learn the process more and more and more. If you're a mechanic, then you learn more as you go along and work on things. If you're an engineer, you learn more as you go on and work on things. You know, we go to school and we learn things. The teacher tries to teach us things, and we should learn them. But until a lot of times we get out into life, we don't grasp on to a lot of the things that we are taught. And it's the same way with Christianity, I believe. As a new believer comes into the fold of Christianity, they don't know all the things to do. But you know what? I think it's great that a person comes to know Jesus Christ, because Jesus calls us to come as we are. And then he changes us from the inside out, and we change as we go through the process of doing that. And it doesn't work as well when you try to change and get right with God before you try to start serving him. You have to jump in with both feet and start serving him. Now, the Galatians, and I'm going to back up just a little bit and read from chapter 2 of Galatians, if you will bear with me. In verse 16, Paul wrote this to the Galatians. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 17. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, but that I might live unto God. And we'll read another verse or two here in a moment. How should I live? How should I live as a Christian? I heard this conversation a while back. Two men talking, and they were talking about not gossiping, but they were talking about a certain particular person who was in a certain particular field in life. a job in life, you know. And one of them said was going on about how good he had done or something like that. And the other one said, well, yeah, I said, but, you know, he's not the most honest fella. And the other one said something else. And then this other fella says, yeah, but, you know, he's not the most honest fella. And said, he said, in my book, there's just not a lot of room in heaven for a fella like him. And that's when I kind of jumped in and said, well, you know, we don't go to heaven only on one reason, and that's our belief and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and then he said to me, which kind of surprised me, he said, yeah, but I believe in walking the straight and narrow. I said, well, you got me there. but what I was trying to get at was that we all mess up, we all make mistakes, and there's no perfect person. And so I said, well, I try not to be judgmental of people and things. And I said, I know that people, you know, who say they're a Christian and don't show evidence of that, we kind of, you know, raise our eyebrows sometimes at them. But I think also we do need to walk the straight and narrow. And I think that today a lot of people are trying to divide that line in our world today. And I'm not saying there's anyone even in here like this, but you may be trying to divide that line of serving God and still serving the world or serving Satan, serving mammon, however you want to put it. And I think that there's a line there that we need to stay over on God's side as believers. It is necessary, and I think it is faithful, and it is worthy, let me say, not worthy, I guess I'll say, to walk the straight and narrow way. I know I've shared this with you before, and my dad's a preacher, and I always remember he carried just a few little, Bible tracts with him sometimes when he would go out and visit, and there was this one in particular, and I've told you this story before, I know, but one in particular that always stuck in my mind, and it was a little red one, and it had two roads on it, and one of them was a big wide road, and it dropped off into a place called hell, and the other one was a little narrow road that walked that a person was walking on that led to heaven. And I always remember that, you know, and what the Bible says about the broad road and the narrow road. And so we do need to walk the straight and narrow. But that doesn't mean that we don't mess up sometimes. What happens when we mess up? Well, I believe that we're covered under the blood of Christ as Christians and believers because God knew, you know, and Jesus knew that we're not perfect. And we don't go to perfect. And that's what heaven because of being perfect. And that's what Paul is saying here to the Galatians. You know, there was a controversy going on. And if you want to read the part of this chapter before I left out, you can see what some of that was all about. But what Paul was saying here that no one, I can't be justified by the law anymore. I can't be justified by that because of what Christ did. The Bible tells us that gift of God is eternal life, and it's a gift, and Jesus did that. And if we try and make sin irrelevant, or if we try to make sin less sinful, let's say, then what have we done? We have nullified the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. If you say that I can be a sinner as long as I'm saved, then you nullify the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. But we also have, we say that we are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a believer and you know this. If you're a sinner, then I want you to know this. If we seek to be justified by Christ, then we can't continue on in sin. And Paul preached this and he taught it all through the Bible and his works. And the Bible tells us this. Then we go back. And what I wanted to say too sometimes is that we go back and we look in the Old Testament and we see Moses. And the old preachers would say Moses was a murderer. But yet God chose him to lead the children of Israel. We go back and we look at other people in the Bible. We look at Abraham and or Noah. And the Bible, if you read the Bible and you read in there, you find that Noah might have been classified as a drunkard. But yet God used him. You remember what happened when Noah came off of the ark, and they celebrated a little too much. But yet God used him. And I want to think that Noah didn't stay in that condition. Noah didn't stay in that state. And I want to think that we know that Moses didn't stay there in that place that he was at when he was out of God's will, we'll say. Because God used them. And God will use you. And God will use me. And God will use us as much as we'll let God use us, John. John, God will use us as much as we let him. And I'm just as guilty as you are, and sometimes, and not letting God use me the way that he wants to use me a lot of times. We have that freedom of choice, the Bible, that we love to brag about our freedom in this country. And we love to see, and we see why people want freedom in their lives. Most people, if you ask them, want to have freedom so that they can say that I'm free to do whatever it is I want to do. I'm free to go wherever I want to go. I'm free to say whatever I want to say. But I want to say this about freedom. I want to say that freedom is, as a true definition of it, is being able to choose to do the right thing. Listen, God gives us freedom, and we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ, and we're justified by that. And you know, I'm old enough to go out and pretty much do anything in this world that I want to do as far as the law is concerned. I'm old enough to go to the bar. I'm old enough to go out and partake in drug-related activity. I'm old enough to go out and curse and do whatever it is I want to do. And I'm old enough to do all of these things that if we look at the law of the land, you know, we're not really against the law in certain respects. I'm old enough to do all those things. But I want to think that I'm smart enough not to. I want to think that I'm smart enough to know that there are consequences of these things. And we live in a society today that seems to be obsessed with doing whatever you want to do, and it's okay. And that does exactly what I said we shouldn't do a while ago. That diminishes sin. That lessens sin. That takes sin and puts it in a category that's on an equal playing field with the laws of God. And we're not justified by the law, we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. But I hope you understand what I'm saying here. That it puts everything on a level playing field. Whenever I think of sin, I think that sin is the lowest form of life. I think of sin as being way down here and God being way up here in his mercy and his grace, and we serve a great God of grace. And we shouldn't lessen sin in order to make it something that's okay. We shouldn't lessen sin to make sure it's in some. People are enslaved to sin. The Bible, all through the Bible, has taught that people can be enslaved to sin. Today we see a lot of people, and you may be, I say a lot of people, and I keep saying that, but you may be enslaved to sin in some way. You may be, and listen, I'm not saying that a lot of the, you know, we have a way of categorizing sin, and according to what the Bible says, you know, sin is sin, and a white lie is just as much a sin in God's eyes as an adulterer or whatever it is that you want to put in that category. But we categorize sin in our hearts and our lives as human beings. But the Bible says that if you really know the truth will what? It will set you free. And you can see these things for what they are. You can see Satan for what he is. People are enslaved to Satan. People are enslaved to sin. Some people are enslaved to drugs. Some people are enslaved to alcohol. Some people are enslaved to immoral activity in their life. And all these things are a form of are sins, and they have people. Some people may be enslaved to finance, to money, to riches, to power, to wealth. All of these things, it's how they have this active hold in your life. Technology is a wonderful thing, but you know what? Some people are enslaved to technology. And I don't mean using it on your job in a good way. I mean you and me and everybody else in this world anymore is walking around looking at their phones all the time. Me and my wife sit at home, and she's got her tablet and I got mine, and she's over here and I'm over here, and I'm just as guilty a lot of times. I tell you one thing I'm not guilty of, and that's I don't have one of those smartphones. You know what? And that's fine. That's fine because I've been around people that it's even much worse when you have one of those. That's a pet peeve of mine. If you didn't get it, and I'm not going to say that's a sinful thing. Technology is wonderful. It can be used for good or bad or good or evil. I guess like everything else. But a lot of people are enslaved to those things. When Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon too, you can't serve God and the world or God and Satan or whatever you want to put in there. Paul, back over in verse 10 of chapter 1 of Galatians, I have several verses I wanted to use out of Galatians. It says, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." You know, Paul was one of those people that we should certainly look at and say that he really didn't care about pleasing anybody but God. He wanted to please God. And he's a great example that we have in the Bible that we should follow to have really, really good freedom and a certain freedom in pleasing God and exercising that freedom. So, the gospel, in a nutshell, points to a deliverer in Christ. And that's what we see here that Paul is saying, that faith comes through our justification comes from our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't nullify that by putting sin on a level playing field. Not by the works of the law. It is not by works we are justified, but by faith. If we seek to be justified by Christ, then we shouldn't go back and do those. Now listen, this is what I was saying a while ago. We have a gospel that points to a deliverer. We have a gospel that gives us that deliverance. And that deliverance is like the Apostle Paul saying here, that we can't come to know Jesus and then turn around and expect to go back and live the life that we lived before we came to know Jesus. We do need to walk that straight and narrow. Don't get me wrong there. But also we have a deliverer from sin in the Lord Jesus Christ that gets us out of the depths of the miry clay in the pit that the Bible talks about, in the depths of sin, and cleans us up and gives us a new life, a new clothes and new cleanness in our heart so that we can go out and live for Him. Another verse I want to share with you. A great verse, 2:20. You ought to know that one. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Crucifixion meant death. Paul said, I'm dead with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. By my sins, my former self. And Paul will point out to you, and if you read some in the earlier chapters here, earlier chapter one, and Paul will tell you about his persuasion on how he came to, not particularly the fine points here in this part, but how that what he once thought he was doing the right thing in the Jerusalem church by persecuting Christians till he met Jesus himself. All those in our world today who talk bad, I guess we'll say, about Jesus, about Christianity, have never met Jesus. Once a person meets Jesus on the truest level and becomes a believer in him, what happens? They have a change of heart. They have a change of attitude. They have a change of lifestyle, hopefully. And that's what I wanted to say this morning, too, is that as we have the deliverer in Christ and we are delivered from sin, we have that deliverance. This gospel that we have today is a divine plan of God. A divine plan of God that has no flaws. There's not a whole lot in our world today that you can look at and say it doesn't have some sort of flaw in it. I don't care who comes up with it or what it is. There's always room for improvement. There's always flaws, and there's always things that need to be tweaked. I was watching this part of a show last night, and probably on Nat Geo or the Smithsonian Channel. I don't know which one it's on, but it was talking about this when they were going through all the trials and everything for space exploration, training the astronauts, and how that all the different things that they went through. And when they first started, they had those compression suits or whatever they are on. But at that time, in the early stage, they didn't have. I'm assuming that now they have where they can be cool and keep cool and all this stuff. But back then, they didn't. And all the different things they went through and how it. This is what caught my attention on it the most was the little Gemini module that was attached to the rocket ship. Well, they needed some way to get from one compartment to the other, so they cut a hole in the back part of the Gemini heat shield so that they could crawl through it. You know, and this is what I didn't understand, how someone who was trained to be an engineer, and engineers here today, forgive me, could think that was a good idea to cut a hole in the heat shield. When they come back into the Earth's orbit, they were talking about 5,000 degree heat, you know, and they had to keep all that out. And if they had a trap door cut in it, then the heat was going to get in there some way. And so I think the astronaut or somebody pointed that out to them, and I don't know how they corrected it. I didn't finish watching the show that much, but what my thing is and what I wanted to get at was that, you know, sometimes we do things that don't make sense, and everybody does, and we all do. But you know what? God still loves me. God still loves you. There are folks maybe here, but I know there are folks in the world today who think that God doesn't love them anymore. They think that God has moved away from them. But there is nothing, according to the Bible, in this world that can separate you or I from the love of God. Nothing. Not anything. Now you tell me anything, anybody else, anything else or anybody in this world that if you hurt them, that they don't lose a little bit of respect or love for you in some way. God doesn't do that. God forgives us. Someone said, you know, you could go and you could ask God about, well, God, what about when I did this? And God would look at you and say, I don't remember that. You know why? Because when you talk about sin, your forgiven sin with God, God sees Jesus on the cross. And he says, Jesus took care of that. Has Jesus taken care of you? The gospel of Jesus is God's divine plan to rescue sinners, rescue the perishing. So if we really want to be free and have true freedom, it's when you can say no to the things that enslave you and say yes to God, yes to Jesus, and that time begins when you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you've done that, then that's wonderful. I would go further and ask, are you really living for God? Are you really serving God? Or are you a believer who believes that because you're a Christian, because you're saved, that you can live any way that you want to and it's okay? I'm not talking about the mistakes that we make or the sin that we sometimes fall into, but I'm talking about your lifestyle and your true living. If you're a true believer, then yes, we do need to walk that straight and narrow. So, we're justified by faith, not to live as we please, but to live and to serve Him. Are you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Jesus is our Savior. We thank You, God, that today that we can be confident and most assured that Jesus is the one and the only, the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to heaven. I'm proud today to stand in this pulpit and know that those words have been preached from this very pulpit, in this very place, for many, many years, by many, many men of God. And still today, that message rings out from this pulpit, and I hear it Sunday after Sunday, that Jesus is the only way. Lord, it hurts me to think and to know that there are Christians out there today who say they are Christians and believers who will tell you that Jesus is just a way. The Bible tells me that Jesus is the way, the only way. So, Father, I pray today that as believers here today that we would follow Your book, we would follow Your word and Your will. But I also thank You today, God, that when we fail, that we can be forgiven. And that the Bible tells us that nothing can separate us. That we, like Paul, are crucified with Christ, yet we live. Yet it's not really me that lives today, it's Christ that lives in me. Father, let me be Jesus to someone around me each day who doesn't know You. And Father, if there are those here today who have never believed in You and trusted in You as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray today conviction in their hearts that they would come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, to have that home in heaven, to follow that narrow way. Father, You bind Satan up today. Holy Spirit, You bind Satan up today. And let God have His will and His way in each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And please.